I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back. No place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class.
Good morning, Brother Keith.
Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. There's much to be learned about walking with God in faith. There's much to be learned about being an overcomer. Now, that's what God has made us to be, but you can act like something else if you choose to, but you don't want to do that. You want to be what God made you to be and the fullness of it, and that'll be the overcomer. Get your Bible, get something to make a note with, and come on into the classroom. We've saved you a seat right here in the front where we can look real close and make sure you're getting it. So turn off everything else that would distract and give this your full attention, and it will change your life. Amen. Father, all of us agree together as touching this, asking for the utterance and the anointing and the ears to hear and eyes that see and heart that can discern and understand. And we'll give you the thanks and praise for every good thing that we see you doing in our lives as a result. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
If you would turn again to Psalm 23 in the Scriptures, we've been on a series for a number of weeks now that we're calling Faith for Provision. And like we talked about yesterday, in yesterday's class, faith is being persuaded of something. It's being convinced. And how are you going to be convinced? Well, by hearing. That's why faith comes by hearing. And so if you've not heard that God is a God of provision and that He wants you to have provision, and you've never become convinced of that, well, you can't have faith for it. But once you hear it, if you choose to believe it, it gives God access to do many good things in your life. So you want to get this settled. Don't go, well, I don't know. You know, some people think this, some people think that. Yeah, but what do you say? What do you believe? You can't decide for everybody else, but you must decide for yourself. And just like if you've chosen to believe that God is and that Jesus is the Redeemer, that was a choice you made, then that's the difference between you being lost and saved. That's why you're saved and not lost. And that you got to make that same choice in every area of life. The just shall not just be born again by faith. That's how the just are supposed to live and function and walk every day. And so just like you made a decision about believing in the Christ, believing in the gospel, this is also part of the gospel. Not only did He become sin with your sin, that you might be the righteousness of God in Christ, He became poor so that you through His poverty might be rich. I'm quoting Scripture.
Yes,
New Testament Scripture. Amen. People ignore it. They act like it's not there. But when the Lord accomplished our redemption, He did not go to the cross just in body. He went spirit, soul, body. Yes, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And He obtained a complete redemption for us. Hallelujah. Redemption has to do with purchasing and buying, like buying a slave that had been either born into slavery or sold into slavery. Well, how do you get out of slavery? Well, you can be purchased. You can be bought and given your freedom. Well, that's what Jesus did for us. We were sold under sin into slavery, bondage and death. And Jesus came.
Amen.
And He paid the only price that could be paid that was worth souls. human souls. Silver and gold couldn't buy us. Too valuable. But the blood of the Lamb, oh, hallelujah. The perfect blood of the spotless Lamb of God has bought us, has redeemed us, and has not just redeemed us only from hell in the future, has not just redeemed us spiritually, but also mentally and emotionally and soulically. The chastisement of our peace was on Him. And also physically, He took our infirmities, He bore our sicknesses, He carried our pains, and by His stripes you were and are healed. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I've been redeemed, I've been redeemed. And where the natural, the material is concerned, we just got through quoting, He became, though He was rich, yet for your sakes, not for His own, He became poor. You'll hear people, they actually twist that scripture up, even if they don't call themselves quoting it. They're saying, well, Jesus was poor, so you should be poor. Well, that's like saying He was made sin, so you should sin. Uh-uh. Why was He made sin? So you could be free from it. Amen. Right? Yeah. Why was sickness put on Him? Not so you could be sick. For God? No. Well, why did He become poor? Not so you could be poor.
That's right.
Now, I know a lot of people believe that, but it's because they believe religious tradition instead of the Bible. Mm-hmm. Make the Word of God your foundation.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Your final authority on every issue. Not what I said, not what somebody else said. Bring it back to the book.
Amen.
Every issue. Every word, every question, and not just one half a verse somewhere in the mouth of two or three witnesses. If it's really Bible truth, you'll find it multiple places, and it'll be confirmed for you, and you can get it settled, and that's when you can have faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
He went to the cross, and He offered Himself spirit, soul, mind, body. He let them take His possessions. You know, He was not a helpless victim. He said, nobody takes my life from me. I lay it down.
Amen.
He let them do it. Why? For us.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Being our substitute. He allowed Himself to be taken from and stripped and oppressed and vexed and all of these things. Why? Not so we could continue to be vexed and oppressed and broke.
Right. Yeah.
So we could be free.
Amen.
I said, so we could be free, free, free. And if the Lord thought enough of me to go to that length to buy this and pay for it for me, I'm going to have it.
Right.
How about you? I'm going to live in it. I'm going to experience it. And if I don't see it all now, I'm not giving up.
Amen.
I will stay with it. Because if He bought it and paid for it, we should experience it.
Amen.
Amen. We should live in it. Somebody say amen. That means
amen.
Truth, and so be it. And so we begin giving one by one 30 reasons from Scripture why we are sure. You hear that word?
Yes, sir.
Confident. Mm-hmm. Persuaded. Yes. Convinced. We're sure. It's always God's will for us to have abundant provision. Go ahead and just try it out loud. Say it's always,
it's always
God's will
for me to have
abundant provision.
That's always
God's will
for me.
Now see if there's any hesitation with you on that. You got to get rid of that hesitation. And how can you get rid of it? The Word of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Look at Psalm 23 again, please. Psalm 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. I what?
Shepherd.
Sometimes I get real low. Sometimes I go months and I'm so far behind. I can't. No. Uh-uh. The Lord's my shepherd and what?
I shall not want.
Now see, if you've not experienced that always, then it would definitely be a confession of faith for you to say that. You wouldn't be walking by what you feel and see. You'd be saying the Word of God is right.
Yes.
And if I haven't experienced the fullness of that, it's not God's fault. Right. It's not His will. I gotta make a change. Yes, and the first thing you can make a change is in your mouth.
Yes.
Is that right? Yes. And start saying it, no matter what it looks like and what it feels like. So everybody said out loud, "The Lord is my shepherd.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
I shall not want.
I shall not lack.
I shall not lack.
He always takes good care of me.
Takes good care of me.
Amen.
Amen.
Other translation says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want." God's Word translation says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I am never in need." Don't you like that?
Yes.
Well, people say, "Well, isn't that a little extreme?" Well, if sheep got a good shepherd, then how many days is the shepherd not looking out for them, getting them some good pasture? Huh? The sheep's out there hungry, hadn't eaten in 3 days, can't find a pasture. Why? Shepherd took off. We don't know. He took some days off. Huh? Well, that's not a good shepherd, right? That's a good shepherd doesn't do that. Do we have a good shepherd?
Yes.
Hallelujah. Doesn't sleep, doesn't slumber, never off the job, never such that you can't find him. What does that mean? Then that means He's always got good pasture, right? He's always got good water. He's always got, prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. And it's not slack. My cup runneth over. Is that right? And there's always protection. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. You know, how many church-going people don't like the 23rd Psalm? Huh? That's not a real church-going person. Everybody, right? I don't care what label you go by, right? Everybody that goes to church likes the 23rd Psalm.
Amen.
But have you actually read it? Have you actually looked at it? What is it talking about? And if it's just some beautiful poetry that David sang a long time ago, it shouldn't be in the Bible. If that's all it is literature. But if it is the inspired word of the God who never changes and is no respecter of persons, then it belongs to me and to you and to every believer just as much as to David and anybody else. And I can say with full conviction, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not lack. I shall not lack. Don't you like saying that?
Yes.
I shall not lack.
I shall not lack.
I shall not. Yeah, see, that feels good, don't it? I shall not lack.
I shall not lack.
Man, I go day after day and don't lack.
Amen.
I go week after week, no lack.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I go month after month, every bill paid,
yes,
every need met,
yes,
no lack.
No,
no
lack.
Lack. No lack. And you hear Christians, you hear preachers talking about, well, you win a few and you lose a few. And that's just the way the old ball bounces. Well, I ain't bouncing the old ball no more. I'm a new creature. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. And this new life I'm living by faith. And in the faith life, He always causes us to triumph. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So say it again, the Lord's my shepherd.
The Lord's my shepherd.
I do not lack.
I do not lack.
I am never in need.
I am never in need.
He gives me everything I need.
He gives me everything.
I will always have.
I will always have.
Everything I need.
Everything I need.
These are different translations of Psalm 23:1. So no, we're not concocting something new that nobody's heard of. Psalm 23. Verse 1. So that was our first reason in our 30. Reason 2 was the goodness of God. Reason 3 was the fatherhood of God. Reason 4 was the creation of God. Reason 5 was God's will in heaven. Reason 6 was the God of Abraham. Is He the same God today?
Yes.
Reason 7, we are the seed of Abraham. And His blessing belongs to us.
Yes.
Woo, glory to God. Now, if you were not with us for these important, important points, they're available to you. Go online, faithschool.org, and look under a little, it'll pull right up. And we even have it in multiple different languages. If you or your family or friends speak a different language other than English, it could be there. And there's no cost. You don't have to sign up for anything. You don't have to commit to anything. Our partners, the Lord through our partners, underwrite all of this. And so take advantage of it. And each one we're doing is building on the one before. So go with me again to Genesis, the 14th chapter. And we're into reason number 8 now. We're sure it's God's will for all of us to always have abundant provision because of the blessing of tithing. Reason number 8, the blessing of tithing. Abram, that we've been talking about these last couple of reasons, Abraham, he took his own, 300 and something of his staff and his neighbors when these armies came and took these cities that were near them, including Lot, Abraham's nephew, and his family who had moved to Sodom, and they shouldn't have. They separated from Abraham and moved over there. How many know if you separate from the people God joined you to and you move in the middle of ungodliness, it can cost you?
Yes.
Hmm? It can cost you. And it cost them everything eventually. But at this point, it looked like it had cost them everything. These warring neighbors came with their armies, and man, they wiped out the soldiers, and then they took all of their the women and children, and they took all the livestock and the money, and they just cleaned the place out, and they hit city after city. And Sodom was one of the cities that they got. Well, Abraham, and when he found that out and praying about what to do, he was led of the Lord to go take on these armies that had. Now this is something. This is faith.
Yeah.
So he must have heard from God that he could and should do this. And so they don't have an army. He just got his staff. Hundreds of them, but they're not trained soldiers. And he's got his neighbors. And they put together what would have been a ragtag bunch. But a ragtag bunch with God's help. Right? And so they attacked those armies. And man, God helped them to defeat them. They conquered them. Put them, the rest of them, on the run. And recovered everything that they had taken. And when they brought all the people and all the livestock, the king of Sodom came out to meet them. He's thinking this is his salvation. And but Abraham made him wait. Do you see this? He made the king wait. You know, just because you're a big wig in something on the earth, don't make you a big wig in the things of God.
That's right.
Hmm? And we should show respect first to the things of God.
Amen.
Don't you agree?
Yes.
And so Melchizedek, verse 18, Genesis 14, 18, he came and brought bread and wine. He was a priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him. Now, you'll hear anytime you bring up the subject of tithing, you're going to hear moaning and groaning and arguing and just, you know, self-justification and all kind of things. And I'm not interested in arguing with anybody about tithing. We tithe around here. Phyllis and myself, we tithe personally. Our churches tithe. Our ministries tithe. We have like 5 strong arms of ministry, and they all tithe and give offerings. And we're blessed too.
Amen.
We're not behind on our bills. Are y'all listening to me?
Yes.
Sounds like what we've been confessing. The Lord's my shepherd. I don't like. We don't, not bragging, but just talking about that it is God's will for all of His people. But now, you know, folks say, well, that's just under the Old Testament. That's passed away and that don't apply to us. Well, I disagree with you. And if you care to know, we're going to talk about it a little bit. But I'm not trying to talk you into anything, and I'm not trying to talk anybody into supporting us in any way. It should be about the Word, not about the money. Do y'all agree or not?
Amen.
It should be about the Word. And so it's indisputable. Abraham was a tither. Why did he do this? And people try to say, well, it was under the law. No, it was not under the law. The law had not been given. There was no law or no rule given for Abraham to tithe. Where did he get that? The Ten Commandments hadn't been given. None of that. That all happened way, way later. Where did he get that? Well, Adam and Eve and Cain and Abel, they were bringing offerings in the first chapters of Genesis. Why? Where'd they get that? Certainly no law. Why are they bringing offerings? The real reason why tithes and offerings are such a touchy issue with so many people is because wherever your treasure is, that's where your heart will be. It is a heart revealer, is what it is. And the Lord doesn't just want you to give. He wants you to want to. Well, come on, can you hear that? With Him, it's always about a heart thing. And it's not just an amount thing, it's a heart thing. And the issue is, why wouldn't you want to support the work of God? Why wouldn't you want to help preach the gospel? Why wouldn't you want to sow into somebody on good things? So it's this heart thing that's really been the issue. And when Abel gave a greater, much better offering than Cain did, it revealed both of their hearts. It revealed Abel's heart. He actually cared more about God than Cain did. And to Cain, it was a burden to him and a responsibility. And then when he was confronted that he didn't do well on it, he refused to repent and flew off the handle and got mad and got in such a rage, blamed his brother, killed his brother over an offering. So these things matter. Yes. These things are heart revealers. And so what we're seeing with Abraham, with nobody telling him to do this, when the high priest came and blessed him and spoke over him, he said, verse 20, "Blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hand." This is a miracle. Just from the natural standpoint, Abraham and his little squad of a few hundred and his neighbors should have been wiped out by these well-armed professional soldiers. They should have been wiped out immediately. They weren't. Not only were they not wiped out, they won. They've had a miracle, and they're alive. They didn't lose all of them. They're alive, and they won. And so what is tithing? Tithing is honor. Tithing is acknowledgement. Can you see this in Abraham's response? When the high priest says, "Blessed be the Most High God that's delivered your enemies into your hand." Read the next sentence. And connects what he's about to say to what was just said. And he gave him tithes of all. Melchizedek didn't ask him for anything. He's just declaring, "Blessed be God that gave, your enemies into your hand." And Abraham threw up his hand and said, "You got that right. I'm telling you, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. I'm telling you, God did a miracle." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And we're all alive. And we got our kinfolks back. Right? I mean, they've been gone in the enemy's possession for all these weeks or whatever it is. You know, how do you know they're even alive or if they've been dismembered or whatever kind of crazy thing? No, everybody's alive. We got victory and we got all the stuff back. We got all the cows back. We got all the goats back and the camels and the dogs. Got all the money. Got their money too. Huh? I mean, loaded. And his response is what? Give the tenth part to God. Can you see that's an acknowledgement of saying, "I wouldn't exist without God. And I certainly wouldn't have had this victory without God. And I wouldn't have got all this substance without God." Can you see this? And so what people are saying by not tithing is, I got this on my own. Even if they don't say it, their lack of action, their lack of respect, their lack of honor, they're going, nah, I worked hard for this. I got this on my own. None of it's God's, and I don't owe God anything. Well, you are deceived. Because you couldn't have got out of bed in the morning. Because you are not making your own heart beat. You are not quickening the synapses of your brain. Huh? You are not giving energy and life to your spirit. You'd have no life. You'd have no opportunities. You'd have no strength. You'd have no victories. Amen. Right? No protection. No increase without God.
Right.
Now, he said that the tenth is his. God said that.
Yes.
And so if you agree with him, then anytime something comes in, you go, whoo, I wouldn't have any of this if it wasn't for God. So you do what Abraham did. You go, here's the tenth.
Yes,
here's the tenth. Nobody's making you. Nobody's twisting your arm. It's honor.
Yes.
It's honoring God. And what did he say? Those that honor me,
I will honor.
I will honor. Was Abraham honored?
Yes.
What honor this is. Of sparing your life.
Amen.
And giving you victory and giving you even more riches. God made Abram rich, but Abram honored God.
Yes.
Can you see?
Yes.
So that's why we're talking about this. The blessing of tithing is something that continued Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. It continued all through the patriarchs. It continued, yes, through the law. Jesus was talking about tithing in Matthew and Luke. In the New Testament, Hebrews talks about tithing. Why? Because we got a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And he receives tithes now, just like Melchizedek received tithes then. And we walk by faith now, just like Abraham walked by faith then, which is why we're called the seed of Abraham.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And trust in God and tithing. Abraham knew a God who made him rich and protected him and kept him. And is that blessing the same today?
Yes.
Does it work the same today?
Yes.
Everybody said out loud, I will honor my God.
I will honor my God.
And acknowledge my God.
And
render the holy portion
to my God.
And I will be
blessed,
protected,
kept.
Yes. Favored,
promoted
by my good God. Hallelujah. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Do you believe that? Well, our time's up again today, but if you're not quite convinced, come back tomorrow. Amen. And the next day, we'll see you soon back here in Faith School.
I've got the victory living inside.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today, but you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.